Welcome to the SideQuest podcast. This is Eric. I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great.
And Justin. How you doing, Justin?
Apparently we're talking like this.
Well, it's a new thing.
I don't know why you're talking like that. I'm Eric, and this is how I always talk.
Well, you sound different, Eric. I don't know what you're doing, but...
You must be,
I've been working. I've been working really hard on enunciating and sounding really cool, real nice.
Listen, folks, I think we've got a fake Eric on the line. What is going on? Who pull the mask back, Scooby-Doo? Who do we have with us tonight?
All right, you got me. It's not Eric. It's Tom.
It's our old friend.
Fleeing Machine.
Fleeing Machine.
Welcome.
How are you guys doing?
Like, I feel like He-Man right now, but minus the crappy remake.
I was just going to say, we're not talking about the Kevin Smith crapshoot.
Yeah, no.
I got through the first episode and they killed He-Man, and then I was like, why am I going to watch this?
Wow, spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, it's been all deal. Over the... it happens within the first episode.
I am going to be honest, I had no intention of watching that.
I think few people did.
I mean, I used to play with He-Man toys, so I don't know. I was kind of interested.
You know what I did see on Netflix, and I didn't even plan on bringing this up, but now that we're talking about childhood classics, there's a new Transformers, and it has the classic Transformers like Optimus Prime and Megatron teaming up with Beast Wars Transformers, which I was super into in middle school. So I was like actually really excited to watch this, and I got through a couple episodes, and I'm excited to finish the season.
I've heard about that. I've seen it on Reddit, a bunch of people saying, I don't care if I'm an adult. This is my favorite show right now.
It was awesome.
I'm going to have to check that out now.
And Rhinox and Rat Trap and Optimus Primal.
Now, are the Optimus Prime and Optimus Primal the same? Or they talk to each other? Are they different?
It's like Optimus Prime and his team of Autobots crash land on Earth and like, it's the future or the distant past, I don't remember. But they end up meeting up with their multiverse counterparts, which is the Beast Wars, the animal Transformers.
Gotcha. I remember watching Beast Wars.
It's
like
the multiverse.
Yeah, every morning we wake up, watch Beast Wars and Pokemon, and then we discuss Beast it Wars. At school.
Beast Wars was my shit.
Remember the White Tiger one that came out? It was like the White Ranger.
Oh my god. And Silverbolt. I wanted to be Silverbolt. I wanted to make sweet love to Black Arachnia. She was the tarantula. She was so hot.
Okay. Learning something new about Tommy today.
Yep.
So first side quest question. Say that you're in a Hollywood pitch meeting and it's up to you to reboot something from the 80s or 90s from your childhood. What are you pitching? Tommy, go.
Oh, I think I would want to reboot Heavyweights, but make it about like more about the diet side, like tap into like the whole controversy surrounding gluten-free diets and CrossFit, I guess. I don't know. I think, yeah, definitely Heavyweights.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, do you have an opinion? What are you rebooting?
Of a childhood... I mean, I still would love to reboot Power Rangers. Like, the original. I know we got that one movie, which was pretty good, but I'd love to get that old school Power Rangers back with all the new, you know, tech that we have in TV and movies. I think it'd be fun. Make it a little bit more adult-orientated. Or we could just do goofy 90s again. I mean, I'm all for that.
I really liked the remake that came out.
I did too.
Could have used more of it, you know? I'm sad that it just kind of was a one-off thing.
And when they all came out and they played the original song, I'm like, this is just fan service.
Guys, I cried in the theater. I literally started tearing up. My wife was so embarrassed.
It was so good. When I went into that movie with zero expectations, and I came out pleasantly surprised. I mean, it's never going to be as good as Ooze, but... It's a close second.
No. Definitely, yeah.
Justin, you ever into Power Rangers? I don't know. We've talked about Power Rangers. I just don't know if you were ever into it.
Yeah, I was a big Power Ranger geek for a while when it came out, and I've got like two stories that I can share about Power Rangers, which I don't think that I got to talk about when we did our big Power Rangers episode in our archives. Audience, Claudia, go listen to it again. One, when the action figures came out, I had a cousin that offered to steal them for me from Toys R Us, and my mom lost her shit and didn't let my cousin steal action figures for me, and I'm still scarred to this day. And then one time, that's a true story. That's just the way that we roll. And then one time I called into Q101 when they had Santa Claus on the air, and like used to be able to, "Oh, ho, ho, what do you want for Christmas, kid?" And I said, "I want Power Rangers," because I wanted all the action figures.
I mean, I'm sorry. That sucks. I never got the first Megazord, and
oh my god,
my childhood was ruined because of it.
That thing was incredible.
You can rectify it now, and you can buy it on eBay, Electronic Bay.
Electronic Bay. I remember I had the White Tiger one, and I always wanted the Green Ranger one. I forget his Zord.
Dragonzord. I never got Dragonzord, which is, I was obsessed with the Green Ranger, so that was a big heartbreak for me to never get.
Yeah, and every time Tommy and I, in like grade school, we were like second grade, we'd play out on the playground, and for some reason he just immediately got to be Tommy, because name's Tommy.
Default. Yeah, by default, yes.
Just by default, always got to be the best Ranger.
Right.
So by default, did the token Black Kid also be the Black Ranger?
Maybe.
We had a full crew.
Yeah.
It was I remember that. Right on down in Evergreen. Playing Go-Go Potty Rangers.
Go-Go Potty Trainers was that was the funniest joke in like fourth grade.
Yeah, this is the best. Nothing has ever done that. No one came up with it, just us. Oh, God.
Do you remember, so maybe this is another side quest real quick, but when we, not collectively we, but when we all were young, the just nonsense shit that we came up with like Jingle Bells, Batman Spells, Robin Laid an Egg, what was your favorite one of those?
Ooh. I was a big fan of a lot of those that I don't think you can say in 2021.
Ooh, good point.
Like there were some really rotten ones. And honestly, like that was our, if you think about it, those little nursery rhymes where we would like use horrible words and stuff, those were like our TikToks.
Yeah, I was just
nice.
You know,
remember
like now kids have the TikTok dances and the short videos, but like we had just these tales, these folk songs that we would just repeat and pass down to future generations.
Thank God we didn't have TikTok. That would have been horrifying.
Oh my God.
I mean,
we'd be dead.
I think we have the first cell phone footage of it's you and I in the basement, and we're hitting our legs. and that was the most pixelated thing. I think Anna still like has that.
2.5 frames per second.
Yeah, video. and it's just us hitting our legs.
Oh my god!
And then I remember all those Flash stuff we used to watch, like the stick figure battles and 55
E-Bombs World.
So good. And now it's just, now it's gone.
It's all about the TikToks and the Snappy Chats and the whatever the fucks.
Snappy Chats. Well, we did make movies, though.
We did with your gigantic camcorder.
Yeah. And I saw the picture of us make. So we reenacted the Phantom Menace, which was a big deal back in the day. And we had full-on costumes. And Tommy was the cameraman, and there's a photo of all of us, and you're wearing like this tie-dye shirt.
I was really into tie-dye, which has come back, by the way.
Oh my god, I remember that tie-dye shirt.
Whole swing.
Yeah, you were really into tie-dye.
I'm telling you, it's back. I am into tie-dye again. I've got a couple tie-dye shirts in my closet. Might wear one tomorrow.
So, Tommy, what are you playing these days? What are you watching? Scoop some people in. They know what we're all doing, but we haven't talked to you in a while.
I've been very busy with work, but before I went back to work, I was re-into Mass Effect Legendary Edition, and I finished Mass Effect 3 a couple weeks ago. I did skip Mass Effect 1, but now I'm kind of going back to play it again. But it's a little frustrating because of the controls. Like the Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3 were such a big improvement over the controls in the game. So going back to Mass Effect 1 after playing those two is a little bit frustrating, but playing through 2 and 3 again really took me back. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I didn't get the good ending that I did before. I feel like they made it a little bit harder to get like a good ending in this game because, as you know, there's so many different endings.
Well, it helps if you, I don't know, start with Mass Effect 1 and then transfer over your save files.
Well, you can also just start in Mass Effect 2 and just kind of it just gives you default choices. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to play through the whole
first game. But you should.
I get it. I'm impatient. I don't have time.
I just beat it last Friday, and I was severely depressed for like 2 days, and I didn't know
what to do with myself. Because it was over, or because of the ending? Did you get a good ending?
It was, yeah. I mean, I got a decent ending. Spoiler alerts for everyone, but if you haven't played Mass Effect at this point, you're an idiot. I did the destroy, so destroyed all synthetics, and then.
Oh, you monster!
Well, no, because then at the end, my Shepard, she was still alive. She like moved, and then just ended.
You killed all the Geth. You killed Eva. Like you killed all.
Well, Edie, we don't know if Edie's dead because Joker.
Oh, Edie.
Right. Yeah, Joker. I think got away from the blast. They didn't really show it hitting the Normandy, so I think Edie's still fine. The other two options were horrible. Control the Reapers, which is what the Elusive Man wanted, or make everyone partly synthetic and partly not against their will. Now
synthesis.
Yeah. No.
So I don't. Do people understand what the fuck we're talking about?
No.
There's like three main endings where you can either destroy the enemies threatening.
And at the time, real quick, the endings were super controversial and people were super pissed and they were filing for the Better Business Bureau, like against EA and BioWare, and they had to like kind of add more to the ending. It was like it was the first time people were like vocal about a video game. Now it's just all the time because of Twitter and Instagram, but that was like the first big backlash.
Which I didn't mind the ending. I thought they were fine. I thought people were being a little soft. I think people were just mad that the main character didn't survive.
Well, she didn't mind.
Not in mine. Not in mine. I made some different choices this time around, and apparently they were not the correct choices. And I had two options. I could either destroy everyone and just fuck all the robots, get rid of them, which I just couldn't bring myself to do because I'm not a monster like you, Jeff. Or I could control the Reapers, and that's what I chose. Like, you control them, they help you rebuild, and your main character dies, but you live on through these gigantic monster robots.
We always talk about our friend Dave is also playing it. He recently just became a Spectre. So
wow.
He's really he's putting a lot of time into it. And
that's early, you know, in the first
a couple
game.
Of us talk about Dave's playthrough as like instead of picking the blue choice or the red choice, he's just Melotone the entire time. Thank you. Goodbye. Like, making no friendships, just doing the basic middle choice and just going, thank you, I will do that. Goodbye.
I have no opinion on the matter.
Do you want to talk? No, thank you. Have a good day. And then just at the end decides to do nothing, and then everyone dies. So, oh god. But I did, I got real upset when I beat it. Because I was playing it all summer, and like, you build connections with these characters. Same. And like, when you had to say goodbye to Garrus, it was, like, you could even tell the voice actors were choking up, and I'm like, oh my god, I can't do this. And then I romanced Liara, so then that even got worse, because then you had to put her on the ship and be like, all right, I'll see ya. And then it ended, and I just stared at the screen.
Yeah, same. So
it was horrible. Justin, do you ever get upset when you beat a game? I know you don't, you've never played Mass Effect, which still is bananas, but like Final Fantasy, which is also hugely character driven, and you play with these characters for a long time. You kind of escape to that world.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into the Final Fantasy dynamic, especially FF7 when Aerith dies. That just, oh, spoiler alert, if you've not played it, it's one of the most saddest moments in video game histories ever. But yeah, I did the same thing when I played like L.A. Noire. I got real sad when Ken Cosgrove perished, and then you transition to the new main character for the last chapter. I was just kind of like, I couldn't find myself the will to continue.
Yeah, it's really weird. A lot of people ask, like, well, you're upset about games? Like, it's not... They're more like an experience, and it's like escapism. I don't know what the phenomena is called.
It's like a really good book.
Yeah, and you, when you put in, like, you know, hundreds of hours, and you're playing it all summer, and then the characters are built so well, and you have interactions, and you're basically projecting yourself as, you know, Cloud or Commander Shepard or Geralt of Rivia or whatever. And that it's kind of like you're acting as them, because you get to choose as they choose.
And you can literally make them look like you. Like, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Gave them a mustache and everything.
And then it just... And then, oh yeah, I always make fun of my younger brother who plays Fallout, and it looks like him. It just has a mustache and a cowboy hat, and he calls him Detective Mac. And he's
Fallout.
Just...
Before I was playing Mass Effect Legendary Edition, I was playing Fallout 4, which... Fallout 4 was so good that it kind of, I don't know how you guys feel, if you can resonate with this, but Fallout 4 kind of ruined other games for me. Like, when I went back to play Mass Effect, I was like kind of underwhelmed with like the lack of options that I had. Like, I'd find myself going like, man, I wish I could jump in this scene, or I wish I could go explore that area that's randomly closed up. Like Fallout, you can just go anywhere.
I mean, Fallout 4 was made well after Mass Effect.
Right.
I mean, Mass Effect was like 2013.
But that open world, you know what I'm talking like? That
no, yeah, it's open world. You should play The Witcher.
Updating.
The Witcher is, and that'll also mentally destroy you. And my younger brother can't even finish it because it's too upsetting. That he also played God of War, the new one. They just announced Ragnarok, the second one. And he basically had his girlfriend over and sat her down and said, this is my son, who is the kid in the game, to actual Kratos. And she's like, what are you talking about? He's like, this is my son. We're going to Asgard to destroy the gods. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he got really like depressed for like 2 days after he beat it. He just like moped around. But
he lost his little boy.
It's just a weird phenomenon. Like, it's real, and people just go, "Oh, it's just a video game." It's like, well, no, it's different. It's, I don't know what it is, but it's very weird, and it sucks when it's over, because then you're like, the good thing is we are getting Mass Effect 4, so.
And I think Fallout 5, right?
Yeah, at some point. I mean, they're doing Star Valley, or I don't know, it's Star Forge or something, and then they're doing Elder Scrolls 6, and then they're doing Fallout 5. I mean,
glad
you could
we
do
get 4 because Mass Effect Andromeda was very disappointing.
I liked it, and I'm going to play it again, but read the books this time, and I guess it fleshes it out even more. And it's and in the end, I know it's in another. It's not the Milky Way. It's not all the normal characters, but it is. Still Fallout. I mean, it still is Mass Effect. You know, because you can't go to the Citadel in real life. You can't do that shit. There's no Asari walking around.
You don't have to rub it in, Jeff.
Just go jump into Andromeda. Do it. I need Justin to play Mass Effect.
I want to. It's just I'm so fickle when it comes to the games that I play.
What are you playing? The only time I ever see you play now is just Halo Deathmatch. That's not even... I mean, you're such a story-driven person. You write scripts and surprised you don't pick up some of these like fantastic, you know, story-driven third-person games. Like, outside of Final Fantasy, there's Witcher, there's Red Dead Redemption 2, there's Mass Effect. I'm shocked that I don't see you play any of those.
I've tried, and I just, for me personally, like, the beginning intro part of the tutorial is just a deal breaker. I cannot spend 2 to 3 hours, oh, this is my son. Now this is how I taught you how to jump. Now you can learn how to jump and come over here and see a picture of your mother. I don't give a shit about that. When we played Mario and Super Mario 3, it was just, boom, you're in the game, you're off running. That's what I like. I don't like the bullshit, just masturbatory, here's the tutorial that teaches you how to play the game for 45, 60 minutes.
Like, Final Fantasy is notorious for that. JRPGs are notorious for overly simplifying and explaining. Final Fantasy Online, it takes like an hour to get through the tutorial.
And I remember... Agreed, and that's why I don't like the modern Final Fantasies, and it's like all the old ones are the ones that I have near and dear to my heart.
Well,
because you just were dropped in a world, and you're like, here you go, good luck.
All right, well, hopefully one day you'll play something good, and we can.
That's why, and that's I'm just gonna say this. That's why I prefer Mass Effect 2 and 3 over the first one, because I feel like Mass Effect 1, there's just way too much shit going on, control-wise, RPG-wise.
And that was based...
2 and 3 is so much more streamlined and simplified.
I mean, when BioWare made Mass Effect, they started with KOTAR, Knights of the Old Republic, which kind of changed the whole, you know, RPG style of gaming and storytelling and making choices and it affecting the world. And you can see a lot of Knights of the Old Republic 2 in Mass Effect 1. The super heavy RPG elements and some of the quirkiness that KOTAR had. And then clearly in 2, they tweaked it to make Mass Effect its own thing. So, I mean, there's a reason why. I mean, they went from one game and then created this whole new universe and stuff from, like, scratch. So they used a lot of what they knew from before. So in some ways, it wasn't on purpose. It's just they were recreating the type of genre. I mean, outside of KOTAR and Mass Effect, no one was doing, you know, choose dialogue or doing any of that. Fallout, Skyrim, all that took that from BioWare. It's pretty interesting. But, you know.
There was a game on PlayStation called Clock Tower that, from like 2001, that had all of that story-driven dialogue elements to your deciding what you're doing and what you decide. I mean, that goes back into like DOS games from the 80s. Like, that's not brand new for when like you're saying, but...
Yeah, not brand new. Yeah, there was a lot of games. I mean, Morrowind did it and stuff. And some of the earlier Elder Scrolls, but in the way that, like, BioWare did it. So they took an existing idea and then they really refined it into, like, a fast-paced, story-driven game where you're making decisions right there. It's not text chat, it's not all that. So, yeah, I agree. The concept's been there for a while, but they took a concept and improved on it.
Yeah, well said.
Definitely improved on it and made it, like, accessible for casual gamers. I remember some of those early RPGs, like Super Mario RPG, just so fucking boring to me anyway when I was a kid.
Was it Paper Mario? Or is it just...
No, there was a game called Super Mario RPG. I think it was SNES. And it was just a very old school, very slow, like a lot of text RPG. And you would just, you know, when you got into a battle with somebody, you would take turns throwing a punch and very just so boring.
I mean, Justin, if you go on Game Pass, they have lots of games that are just take that old school RPG Final Fantasy type of battle system and just story. I mean, there's a ton of them on there.
Yeah, I know. I need to do a better job of researching and diving into it, because I know that there are a ton of games that I would thoroughly enjoy. I know we talked about Anna played 12 minutes, which story behind that was just so fascinating, but that like was so frustrating to watch.
Did you watch her play it?
For the most part, yeah, I watched her play it in between working and stuff like that. I was just like, oh my gosh,
yeah, it's
like, this sucks.
Tommy, it's
but
a
so
game
rewarding
on Xbox. It only lasts like, it only takes like 4 hours to beat, and like William Dafoe is one of the voice actors, Daisy Ridder, and
McAvoy. No, not McAvoy.
What's his face?
Roy McAvoy.
No, yeah, John McAvoy. Yeah. Right. Whatever you just said. I don't fuck it. Anyway, like you're stuck in like this time loop in an apartment, and all this stuff happens, and you only have like 12 minutes to keep figuring it out, and then you keep looping and looping and looping, and it's really clever storytelling in a game, but it's like Justin was saying, super frustrating.
It's like Groundhog Day, the video game.
There is an achievement in the game that you can get that's called Groundhog Day. And there's just little things in the game. I mean, Justin, I don't know if you picked out some of the horror elements, like The Shining, the red carpet.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of throwbacks to kind of old school horror movies and stuff, which that's why I told her to make sure you watch her play it, because you'll just love all the little Easter eggs in it.
Yeah, I have a little side quest for you guys that kind of like, so you know how video games that are adapted into movies kind of have a really poor reputation, like historically have not done so well, but now we have the streaming series, we have Netflix series, HBO Max. So like, what video game would you like to see adapted into a miniseries, either on Netflix or HBO or whatever? We'll start with Jeff.
Mass Effect. Just easily Mass Effect. And Mass Effect would be a good show. It'd be hard to do like a movie of that. And I hope with like Legendary Edition really got people talking about it again. I mean, it outsold current EA stuff that's out on the market right now or just came out. And with Mass Effect 4, there's a, you know, hopefully that goes well. There's a good possibility we could get a show for it, which would be incredible. That would be mine.
Yep. I have heard rumors of a Mass Effect series. What about you, Justin?
I mean, we did get Witcher, so
true.
We'll see. And that's Netflix.
I've got two answers that I want to discuss. One, 10-year-old me would love there to be a Zombies Ate My Neighbors TV series, because that game, what it did for bringing back essentially like the Universal Monster universe into like a video game with the zombies and the vampires and the possessed dolls and the werewolves and the swamp thing. Like every episode would be this crazy new, like just like, holy shit, now there's a guy with a chainsaw coming after us, run like hell. That would be awesome.
I mean, that would be a fun show. I could see that. That would be a very Netflix show.
Definitely. Yeah.
That would be like so cool. And then the second one that I know that it's in development stages, but a Devil May Cry show, it would just be just mind-blowing.
Well, with old Dante, that'd be cool.
I agree with... Yeah, Mass Effect for sure, but also Halo. I know. I remember, like, I think early in the 2000s, there was a Halo movie in development, and I was so excited every time I read about it, but then it just ended up getting trapped in development hell and just was totally scrapped. And now, like, looking back, I don't think it would be a good movie, but if they made a series about Halo and just the concept behind it, like this ring world made by this extinct species and this, you know, the flood and how they turn people into zombies and they try to take over the galaxy, I think would be really fun.
Well, we know someone who could write the script, Dave.
Well, absolutely.
He is very knowledgeable about Halo.
I keep trying to get him to put it together and pitch it.
I'm sure that would be he could definitely, I could see him just walking into, you know, Netflix or Amazon and
just dropping there. It on their desk.
Hello, I have something I would like to discuss.
Just slam it down.
This is my script, and it's gigantic. It's just, these are three television shows, one spinoff, and three movies.
Read it right now.
He just sits there and stares at him.
Okay, we'll get back to you. No, I want to watch you read it.
I will wait.
All right, well, that's close to our time. Chill conversation. I loved it. Tom, thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure. We got to have you back on. We need to have one where my younger brother comes on with you. We'll have Anna and talk about Fallout, because I don't...
Ooh.
Fallout's not really my big thing. I don't think it is Eric's either, but it'd be fun to hear all of you kind of go into Fallout and why you guys all love it. I mean, I'm more of an Elder Scrolls, but I know the three of you would be very interesting to nerd out about Fallout.
Love to talk about favorite power armor and all that shit.
Well, Justin, we gotta end it here, and we need to have Tom do a noise. I know last time he did a great wrestling noise.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of in between a Mass Effect one or a Fallout one.
Why not both? Let's hear you do protagonist noises against one another, arguing as if they're in Brooklyn in apartment buildings with balconies across from one another, and they're like, hey, what are you doing over there? Oh, I'm doing whatever the fuck I want. That's
and then a Reaper comes in at the end and kills everyone.
Yep.
Good Lord, I would need an hour to prepare this. What are you talking about?
I'm
so lost.
You got like 10 seconds.
How about just enjoy?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I love that one.
Fair enough.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Enjoy.